Isaiah came along at a very opportune and important time in the life of Israel. If you read the Old Testament, you see that Israel did fine, the Hebrews did fine for a number of years, and then suddenly they became extremely self-centered and they began chasing after what they desired as opposed to what God had planned for them. And then we find that they're utterly cast down and just ruined, and then they repent, and God again does that mighty thing and turns things around. And that's happened with Israel so many times. As Isaiah comes along, we know that the United Kingdom has broken apart into two nations, the nation of Israel, the nation of Judah. Isaiah came to share in about the last 30 years of the life of the nation of Israel in the 700s B.C., and he had a word for them, and he has a word for us today. Reading the first part of chapter 64, you see how utterly cast down the people were, and they were steeped in sin, and they had turned their backs on God, and there was no righteousness in the land because the people were evil and they were just caught up in themselves. They had forgotten about God. And in spite of all of that, in spite of the turmoil, in spite of the heartache and the way the nation was falling apart, in spite of that, we come to verse 8, where Isaiah writes these words. Yet, Lord, yet, O Lord, you are our Father. And we're the clay. You are the potter. And we're the work of your hand. Bow your heads, please. Heavenly Father, this confession is ours too today. We confess with our mouths, but we also confess with our hearts that you are the potter, and we are the clay. Lord, drive this truth home to us individually today. May no one leave this building today without having thoroughly examined their lives, their purpose, and ready to become clay to be shaped in your hand. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Clay is interesting stuff. And I understand that this sermon is really a rerun, that some time ago someone else did a message on the clay and the potter. And I understand, did they do it in this service as well, have someone set up a potter's wheel and go through that? I wish I could have done something creative like that. Let me tell you my extent of experience with clay. The last time I was an artisan working that precious, damp soil was in fourth grade in Miss Durant's class. And, you can only make so many ashtrays and only fire up so many little lumpy things that you take home to mom and dad and hand them so proud. And they have to kind of probe to figure out, now, what have you made? So that's pretty much the extent of my experience with clay. But I've done a little research. You know, the internet's a great place. You can go and get all kinds of information and discover wonderful things in the encyclopedias that are online and exciting. So this isn't a whole lot of personal involvement in work here. This is just gleaning from others who have gone before. But clay, amazing stuff, and it's still used today. We have such a reliance on clay, and we may not realize that. In the olden days, of course, you could see clay things everywhere. Nowadays, we have to look beneath the surface on some of it. Now, the obvious things, the ceramics that we see, whether they be ceramic art pieces or whether it be ceramic things to use in the home for utility purposes, bricks. We know all about clay bricks. If you've been overseas and you've had the opportunity to watch them go out and just kind of carve into the clay in the ground, just carve out all these little rectangles. and then let the sun come up and begin to dry those, and then they can pop those up out of the ground and use those to build with. You know what that's like. The cooking pots, and we have a crock pot at home that has clay in that. I'm not experienced with a crock pot either. Barbara will tell me when to put it on low if she's not home, or you know, turn it off at a certain time, or and you've got to pay attention to that. If you don't, when you go in and do it, there's no water in the thing, and whatever that is just kind of looking dry and bad. But that crock pot's an important utensil in our home that we use. I love the stuff that comes out of it, as long as I'm not responsible for working on that. Art objects, dishware, even there's a musical instrument that is made of clay. Very common overseas and other places, but even in places like America, you can find a musical instrument that's made out of that clay. It's also used in industrial processes, paper making, cement production, chemical filtering. It's used in the manufacture of some pipes for smoking tobacco. Clay, being relatively waterproof, is used as a seal where seals are needed, like in cores of dams. Other places, it's used as a barrier in landfills to keep some of the toxins from leaching out. Recent studies have discovered you can take clay and it'll remove heavy metals, some of those dangerous things like lead and arsenic, etc. It can be used to take some of that out. It's even being used in the medical field. Well, they'll take some iron-rich clays and use those to fight bacteria. How about that? When I was a kid, you did it too. Don't pretend you didn't. You ate dirt, didn't you? And your parents thought that you were stupid. You know, there's something wrong with my child. He eats dirt. But listen, that was a good thing because I was fighting bacteria. I knew what I was doing. I was a bright child. So, yes, I did, but it was for a purpose. There was a reason. So clay, even a medicinal use. Now, thousands of years ago, when we're talking about the time of Isaiah, when we talk about 2,000 years ago, the time of Jesus Christ, and clay everywhere, abundant. They used it to build their homes. They used it to carry their water. They used it to drink out of, and certainly they had platters and dishes that were clay, and they even used it for something else that they are light years ahead of where we are today. You know, with all of our technology, with all of our wonderful papers that we produce, with all of the ways that we can now even use electronic media to guard and preserve information, do you realize that we're facing something that the scientists are struggling with? How are we going to preserve the information that we're creating today, this data, for people 1,000 or 2,000 years or 3,000 years down the road? We're discovering that our paper doesn't last very long at all. Paper doesn't get much beyond our lifetime. It becomes brittle, and the acids in the paper, they eat it away and it crumbles. It's terrible. And when we talk about electronic data, we used to think, well, we can preserve that on electronic media. We'll have that. Remember the 5 1/4 inch floppy disk? If you still have any of those around, pop them in and read them. Well, first you have to find something to pop them into. But there's a good chance that some of that data or all of that data is going to be gone because those disks don't maintain their integrity forever. And even the CDs and DVDs, even those, expose them to sunlight or just let them set on a shelf for a number of years, and they're telling us there's a life expectancy there and it's not very long. So how do you preserve for thousands of years? In ancient times, they would take that clay and they would form that into tablets, and then they would take the stylus and press in all of their history and literature and everything that needed to be in there, and they would store those away in great libraries in Egypt and Ebla and all of these other places and store those away. And now thousands of years later, we walk in with our archaeologists and they begin digging and they unearth this pit and discover clay tablets stacked upon clay tablets, thousands of them. Now, that's not how they were stored. They were placed on wooden shelves like we would today. But over the years, the wood disappeared and it left the clay all compressed down. And they pull those tablets out, and many of them still intact, and they can read the histories of people thousands of years ago because of clay tablets. The clay vessels that were used, abundant everywhere. So important in the life of the people then, still important in our lives today. And then we come to a scripture that tells us that you, Father, you're the potter, and we're the clay. You've heard that many times before, but what I want you to hear today, what I want to happen this morning, is for God to have an opportunity to minister to your heart, because there's a good chance that many of us here really are no longer the clay that God can use, because many of us here try to become the potter. We like to run our lives. We like to be in control. We like to name our destiny. We like to be doing all of those things. In fact, we like to be the potter in somebody else's life. How many husbands here try to be the potter and begin to shape and mold your wife the way that you want her? Now, I know the women don't do that. This is a man thing, of course. The women are such wonderful, submissive, kind, loving creatures that they could never be a potter trying to mold their husbands. So, man, I'm speaking to us, okay? But we get things turned around and we forget that God Almighty, He is the potter and we're the clay. And you discover the meaning of the word potter and find out that it comes from the root that means to squeeze. So God our Father is the squeezer. He's the master designer. He's the one that takes that clay and He knows how to design it and form it and shape it. And as I've shared before, and I'll share again, I'm sure, what God desires for you is His very best. We think we want the best for us, but we don't know what best means, and we desire after things that in the end don't prove to be good for us in many cases. But God always desires His very best in your life. He desires a way to love you and to embrace you and to strengthen you and to be a father to you. God is our potter, and we're the clay. I also find it interesting that the scripture in those early chapters in Genesis, when it talks about creation and it's talking about man, and what did God do? It says that God took the dust of the earth. God took the dirt of the earth. God took the clay of the earth, and He formed it and He fashioned man. God is the master designer. We are the clay, and when we allow Him to shape us into what He knows is perfect and what He knows is exactly how we should be formed, I find it tremendous that not only does He know how to fashion that vessel, how to squeeze and pinch in just the right places and put the right amount of pressure on it, not only does He know how to fashion that and design that, but He even knows all about those little particles of which we're made. Because from the dust of the earth, God created man. And yet, we turn around and do what Paul says many of us do. And we try to become the potter, and we try to cry out, I want to control it. I want to do it. Does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for noble purposes and some for common use? When can the clay, when can the pot, the vessel, look back to the potter and say, hey, I want to be made this way. Hey, how about this color? Do it this way. Or I don't like this form that I have. I want to be something different. Or I look over here and I see that Noel, man, he's a neat vessel. I really like the way that Noel has been all pinched and squeezed and formed and shaped. And I like that. I want to be one of those. And the clay, the vessel, has no business looking to the potter and say, make me a certain way. Because clay is passive. We sit on the table. And then the potter begins to do what he knows what to do with that lump. Another neat thing about being clay in the potter's hand and allowing God to do those things, we're unique. Each one of you is extremely unique. There's nobody else like you. You've heard that before. God doesn't have an assembly line. He doesn't push us down the conveyor belt and boom, boom, boom. He's creating all these vessels, one after the other, just alike. It doesn't happen like that. We are each unique. We are each gifted. We are each created in such a way. And God forms us according to that soil of which we're made. And He designs and He presses and pulls and pushes. And occasionally He has to take a rasping tool and He has to work on us with that. And that can be uncomfortable. And sometimes you feel the squeeze of God's hand on your life. And we have a tendency to question that too, don't we? Just feel a little uncomfortable with that. God, why don't you do it this other way? And yet you are our Father. We are the clay. You're the potter. We're in your hand. You form us. As we think about our involvement in Christian life and how we're to be obedient to Him, this morning we had a very brief devotional, but it talked about service and how you can get yourself messed up with serving so much because you begin to serve for service's sake and you wear yourself out, and at the end of that service, at the end of that ministry, at the end of that time, you feel just completely exhausted and you're not a friendly person to be around, and you begin to criticize or ridicule, and yet the whole time you say, well, I was serving God. And folks, if we're serving God Almighty, let me tell you something. At the end of the day, if you're grumpy and if you're complaining, and if you're not a blessing and pleasure to be around, and if people can't look at you and see Jesus Christ, then you need to examine very, very closely your service. Don't be so busy that God doesn't have a part in your life. You've got to allow Him to be the potter, to shape you, use you. Just stay on that table and be careful that you're clay and soft and not just brittle, sharp shards that can no longer be used. Some of us here, we need God to get a hold of us and do a little bit of reshaping, don't we? We need Him to get us and break us all down again because we've been trying to fashion something and we've made a mess out of it. And we need to allow God to pick us up and to begin to do this to us once again and soften our hearts and to begin to work us and begin to reshape us into something that honors Him, into something that will build up His church, in something that will encourage our brothers and sisters. We need to be clay in His hands. I think of another scripture that Paul shares in Romans, and we'll have to explore this some Sunday. But he said, you know, this is what you're to do. He said, I want you to present yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. And I see clay involved in that. I see that living sacrifice that does nothing more than make itself available to the one who is doing the work. And the trouble with those living sacrifices, and as clay, we do this sometimes too. We like to roll off the altar. We like to roll off the table. A living sacrifice will crawl away. You have to watch out about that. Something we need to check day in and day out in our Christian lives. You would think that becoming or being high-quality clay would be something easily accomplished. You know, you just say, Lord, here I am, I'm your clay, do with me what you want. But that's not quite the case, is it? Because every day is a new day, a new challenge, new fleshly desires, new things that you covet and you go after, times when you try to jump up and become the potter or tell the potter how to do this and that and the other. We are too often dry and brittle, and we're unyielding to the design or the imprint that God wants to make on our lives. We like to fight against His purposes. How many times have I spoken with people and they share all the stuff going on in their lives and they just think, man, life is awful. I have this and this and this going on and it's just a struggle and I hate it. And the truth of the matter is, again, perspective. Because it's not as awful as they think it is. The awful part is that they're still struggling and pushing and trying to do it themselves rather than allowing God to be the potter and giving Him freedom. It's like that little kid. You've got to be obedient. That's that first step. You know, Steve, be obedient. Quit eating the dirt. He's the potter. We're the clay. We cry out to God for forgiveness. If you go back to chapter 64 of Isaiah and you take time to read that maybe this week and discover there is forgiveness. But forgiveness comes on the heels of confession and repentance. Unless you repent of it, there's not going to be the forgiveness. We've got to repent of being those sharp, broken shards of hardened clay that aren't of much use. We've got to repent of that attitude and then look to God to forgive us and take us in those hands of His and begin to shape us into something that really, truly is honoring to Him. But you, oh man, who are you to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to Him who formed it, why did you make me like this? Earlier in Isaiah, it says, you are confused. You think the clay is equal to the potter. You think that an object can tell the one who made it, you didn't make me. This is like a pot telling its maker, you don't know anything. I want to ask you to bow your heads right now. This is your time with God. Just meditate on what this scripture says. Are you able to repeat the words of Isaiah and say to God that, Father in heaven, in spite of all of these things that have gone on, in spite of what's been happening in my life and around me, and yet, oh Lord, You are the Father. We are the clay, and You're the potter, and we're all the work of Your hand. We have choices to make. We have to choose to allow God to make us into a clay tablet where His story and His words are written for everyone else to see. And what an honor to be such a valuable teaching tool in God's hands. Some might be spun up on the potter's wheel where He creates a totally unique piece. You may be one who will hold anointing oil that blesses many or could be filled with living water to be shared with those with whom we come into contact day by day. Or you just might be shaped by the Master Potter Himself into a vessel where others' feet are washed as you yield yourself as a humble servant to Jesus Christ. And then a few of you may be select to be adorned with a particular beauty of the Lord in order to draw folks to Him, to the Savior. It doesn't matter the form and the fashion God uses to make you His. What does matter is that we all become that lump of clay wholly given to God for Him to have His own way. Because when He has His own way, you will be greatly pleased with yourself and a blessing to others. Father, as we bow our heads at this time and consider this great truth that you are the potter and we are the clay, may it be so. May we recognize those areas that we have tried to make ourselves, paint ourselves, fashion ourselves, and seek forgiveness from you as we repent of selfishness, to allow you to form us into that beautiful, beautiful vessel. I pray for each heart here today as they wrestle with so many things in life. May they be melted down. May they be held in the loving hands of a Father who is the best designer that ever was, and allow you to have your own way with us. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ for your good pleasure and honor. Amen. I want you to quietly stand together as we turn to a hymn of decision and response. And this is not by accident. Have your own way, Lord, hymn number 294. And you prayerfully consider what God has spoken to your heart about today. Allow God to be the potter in your life.